God is good. Amen. We serve a good God. And the more you get to know Him, the more you'll find out how good He is for your life. And just before we start, you heard Grace, my wife, just tell you about Word for Today. And there are just short passages that just encourage you, speak into your heart and life. And if you haven't had a copy of Word for Today for this next 3 months, come and get one now. I think you go for that one. You go for that one. You go for that one. And that one is definitely for you. I think that one's for you. Okay, stay there. Stay there. We any more left? One more for Esther, please. Yours is coming. Yours is coming. Praise God. Now, the other thing before I start is that we came into church this afternoon, and Helen was in the back, and we all went in there to pray. And I looked at Helen, I said, she's either praying or she's got a headache, and she says, I'm doing both. So the first thing we did was pray for her. Is that not right, Kushrash? Is that what we did? We prayed for Helen straight away, didn't we? Well, Helen has a testimony of what happened when we prayed for her. Thank you. That's great. Thank you, Alison. It's on.
Yeah, it's good, isn't it, that God is concerned about everything about us. Spent most of the morning with my fingers in my eyes, thinking, dear God, how am I going to see to drive my car to church? So it cleared up a little bit, but when I, like Andrew said, when I got here, I sort of sat in the back like this, you know, oh, you're going to have to shift it, God, it's hurting. And as he said, he came in the back and prayed, and it felt a little bit numb on the top of my head, but to step back a little bit, for weeks and weeks and weeks, probably months now, I've had like a line in my vision that causes part of the headache because I can't see properly, or I couldn't see properly. But by the time I came out of there and sat down, my eyes twitching, and I'm thinking, oh, what now? What now? Lord, when is this going to stop? But let me tell you this, there's no line there now.
Amen, praise God.
There's no headache.
Hallelujah.
Because when we talk about Jesus dying on the cross, he did it for a purpose.
Yeah, amen, come on.
He died on that cross that we might have our sins forgiven. Hooray.
Amen.
He died that we might have health.
Yes.
Hooray.
Amen.
He died that we might be free from demonic possession.
Amen.
Hooray, you've learnt. And he also died that we might have our needs met.
Amen.
A provision. We hear a lot about prosperity gospel. We don't come to Jesus to be prosperous. But when we come to Jesus, we are prosperous.
That's right.
And please get out of your head, prosperity is money.
Yeah.
Prosperity is having everything that you need. You prosper and you're in good health. It doesn't mean you've got millions in the bank. I know plenty of, well, I don't know plenty of, but I know of people that have got millions in the bank and they are not HAPPY. They are bored. Now, Jesus came that we might have life. And as Ken was saying earlier on, he died on the cross.
Yes.
But don't get fixated on the cross. Get fixated on Jesus. Because the work is in Him. And just as I've received healing today, I'm going to keep receiving healing, because there's nothing affecting my body that's going to stay if it's to the detriment of my health. Because Jesus died that everything might be well.
Amen.
So if you don't know Jesus today, get to know Him.
Amen.
Praise God. Hallelujah. This is the Jesus that we serve. This is the Jesus that we believe in. I believe in a Jesus that came to set captives free.
My Jesus is alive. My Jesus is a healing Jesus. My Jesus is a Jesus that sets captives free. My Jesus is one who has come to give us life, and to give us life with an abundance. That's who my Jesus is. This is the Jesus that we serve. We don't serve a Jesus who's still on the cross. We don't serve a Jesus who's in the tomb or in a grave. We serve a risen Lord. We serve a risen Saviour. We serve a risen King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's who we serve. Hallelujah. Don't get excited. I will get excited for you. Hallelujah. You can shout praise the Lord. You can shout hallelujah. Give Him praise. Showing that you're alive in God. Hallelujah. Praise His wonderful name. Today I just want to begin to speak to you about a man named Gideon. Gideon. I'm not going to do the whole story. I'm going to break it up into some sessions. And Gideon, his name means destroyer. It means cutter down. Okay? He's a destroyer. He's a cutter down guy. Don't mess with Gideon is what his name probably, we think his name might mean. He's also known as Jerubbaal, which means that he contended with the false god Baal. And he contended against the false worship that his father and mother had entered into. And they were worshipping idols. They were not worshipping their living God who had delivered them out of Egypt all those years ago. They'd lost their way. They'd left Him. And so Gideon there is a young man. If you turn in your Bibles with me, you can follow some of the story. And that's in Judges. It's in the Old Testament. Just comes after Joshua. I'll wait for you. It's always good if you can find it, and then maybe you can go back to it later. Judges chapter 6. Now Israel had been living in peace with other nations for about 40 years. And then all of a sudden, the people of Israel got lazy. They started to forget what their God had done for them. They'd started to forget what the Creator of the universe had done for them. They started to forget Him. And they started to worship idols. Things made of stone. Things made of wood. And they just worshipped these false idols that couldn't speak. That couldn't do miracles. That couldn't heal anybody. And the people started to follow these false gods. And what happened was, they began to lose their peace.
And for 7 years, a nation who lived next door, the Midianites, began to come into the land and they began to rob it, to strip it, to rape and pillage the land and take everything that was they could carry away. And if they couldn't carry it away, they would destroy it. And so they were leaving the land with nothing. They were leaving the people with nothing. And the people were afraid to live in their homes. They were living in caves and living in the mountains, living in hideaways somewhere. And this was a result of them literally turning their back on God. And if we turn to get into Judges chapter 6, and we find that Gideon there is a young man. Gideon is the youngest of the family. His family is the smallest family in the smallest tribe of Israel. And there are 12 tribes. And his tribe is the smallest one. So Gideon is like the nobody of nobodies of nobody. Nobody really knew him. And Gideon has found that the enemy has left some wheat. So he's gone and gathered it in, and he's taken this wheat and he's taken it to the wine press. Who knows what a wine press is? One, two. You know what a wine press is? A wine press is the place where you actually take grapes and then you crush them. Okay, so he's taken wheat, oats, to the wine press. Why? I'll tell you why. He's afraid because it's the time of the wheat harvest. And so he thinks, if I take it to where they press the grapes, nobody will find me there. So Gideon was not a brave guy. He wasn't a strapping guy. He wasn't a guy that said, come on, George, bring it on. He wasn't one of those guys. He's a bit of a coward. He's hiding, he's like. He's scared. We'll go to the Bible. I'm just giving you a lead up into the story. That's the story so far. So this is where he is. He's hiding. He's threshing some wheat out. He's trying to get some food. He's in the wine press where they make the wine, not crush and get the seeds. And then it says in verse 11, then the angel of the Lord came and sat under the oak tree of Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Ebionite, as his son. Gideon was beating out wheat in the winepress in order to save it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him, wait for it, and said this, the Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. He's like, who's that? Who's that? Yeah. The angel of God suddenly pipes up and says, the Lord's with you, mighty man of valor. He's hiding. He's like,
Who's that? Who is it? What do you want?
That is not a picture of a mighty man of valour, is it? You know, I mean, he's like, him? Find another subject, you know, find somebody else. Yeah? He's not the man, is he? You know, I mean, he's a chicken. He's scared. But the angel of God makes a statement and says, the Lord is with you, you mighty warrior. He's never lifted a sword in his life, probably. The only thing he's ever lifted, probably, is the scythe. Thank you, Charles. I was waiting for that one. Is the scythe. That's probably the sharpest thing he's had, you know. Just cutting down the wheat harvest and the barley. He's scared. He's afraid. You ever been afraid? Yeah? Ever been afraid? There's nothing wrong in being afraid. Is there? Part of one of those senses that is there to protect you. I'm afraid of fire. I was taught as a child, do not put your hand in the fire. So I've got a fear of fire. It's okay in a controlled, right situation, space. But generally speaking, you need to be afraid of fire. You can't just throw it around anywhere, can you? So some fears are good. So the angel of God says to Gideon, you are a mighty warrior. And he looks at him and says, you talking to me? You've got to be joking. You talking to me? Let's move on into verse 14 and 15. And the angel of the Lord looked at him and said, go in your strength and deliver Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you? Now hang on. He's told to go in his strength. Well, he didn't appear to be very strong round here, hiding away. He's not very strong. He's scared. You know what I mean? He's like, ooh. You know, his knees are knocking like this, you know, he's, oh, you know, pick up the sword, oh, yeah, why, oh, will it bite, you know, pick it up, no, I'm not picking that up, oh. He's scared. And yet the angel of God says, go in that strength. What strength is that? What do you mean? He's in a panic. You see, you know, he's not sure what's coming next. You know, when somebody starts saying, oh, you mighty warrior, I've got a job for you. Uh-oh. What does that mean? Oh, I'll tell you in a minute, you know. Just hang on. So the angel of the Lord says to him, go. Go in the strength and deliver Israel. Hang on, what does that mean? Israel is constantly under attack from the Midianites. And you're telling me, angel, that I've got to go and fight the Midianites? Can you not go and find somebody else? You know, I'm sure there's somebody else better equipped than me.
I'm just a farm boy. We're nobody. You know something? God is looking for the nobodies. God is looking for those who feel they're unable to do anything. God's looking for you and He's calling your name. Because He wants you to go out in His strength, to go out in His power, to go out in His anointing and change circumstances and change situations that God sets before you to do. My God is a God that enables each and every one of us to do great things. But to do those great things, we have to get into some kind of relationship with Him. We have to get to know Him. Jesus has to be our personal Savior, our friend, our Lord, our King. And in that there is great strength and victory. Because Jesus is an overcomer. Jesus, when He died on the cross on the third day, He rose again victorious. He conquered sin. He conquered sickness and disease. He conquered death. And He rose again victorious. Even today we've heard how we just prayed for someone, prayed for them, and that their sight has massively improved. Their headache has gone. Who has done this? Jesus. Amen. We didn't do it. He just said, lay hands on the sick. That's what the Bible says. Put your hands on the sick people and pray for them in the name of Jesus and they shall recover. Amen. You see, we've got a God who brings recovery. We've got a God who brings restoration. And whatever you've lost, God will restore it back to you. Whatever's been stolen from you, if you get into that real relationship with the Lord Jesus and stay in it, He will restore, He will bless you, He will give you things that you never expected. My God is a great God. The God of Gideon, He's the same God. And so, as we move on, in verse 16 he says, but the Lord said to him, surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat the Midianites. Whoa. But hang on, God, just a minute. I've never been a soldier. You know, I've never thrown a spear in anger. I've never whipped a sling in anger. I've never lifted a sword in anger. And you say, I'm going to deliver Israel. No, God. You got it wrong this time. You picked the wrong guy. I mean, just look at me. You know, I mean, the moment you say fight, I say, which way do I run? You know? It's like, he says, the battle's that way. Go, run to the battle. Yeah, okay. He's gone the other way. You know what? It's like, they all stand in line and say, and everybody says, charge! And, you know, come on. You can volunteer. Come on, yeah. Come on. Get ready. We're going to charge Dilip, right? Okay?
To who?
Dilip, we're going to charge at him, right? Yeah. Are you right? Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay. After three. One, two, and we shout charge, okay?
Yeah.
You ready? One, two, three, charge! Go on! Go on! Go on! Go on! Go on! You do it! Yeah! Go on! You can come back now. Gideon's the other way. Go on, you do it. You do it, boy. No. She didn't say, go on, do it. Yeah, yeah, go on, yeah. Go on. Keep going. Faster. He's not a warrior. He's a coward. Yeah? You reckon? Me too. But yet God says, you are a warrior. Look at the person next to you. And say this. You are a warrior. You are a warrior. If you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you are a warrior. Amen? Are you a warrior? Chris? Are you a warrior? Good. I used to be shy, quiet, reserved. I was a bit like Gideon, you know. Keep going. Whoa. I'd hide, you know. Don't put me here. Put me in the back somewhere. Do not put me here. I've tried to say no to God. He does not understand no. He does not understand no. It's only yes and amen in Christ Jesus. Because in Him there is victory constantly, all the time. Yes, there are battles to be fought. There are problems to solve. There are difficulties. There are challenges. But God is there with the provision. He's made the provision. He's given us the opportunity. He's making a way where it seems impossible. And to Gideon, he's just one man. Who, to be honest, is a coward. And God's saying, you're going to fight the Midianites and you're going to annihilate them. How am I going to do that, God? We don't have MK-16s. We don't have air-to-air missiles. We don't have any of that sort of stuff, God. We've just got slings, swords, and spears. And God says, you don't really need any of them. Hang on. We'll get to that later. You'll have to come back for that bit. So Gideon's still a little bit... You know, God, I'm not really convinced about this. I really think you've got the wrong guy. And I think you need to go, I think you need to look for somebody else. Okay. Have you ever said that? Not me, God. Ask Ken. Not me, God. See Charles. You know. You'll do a better job. God says, no. It's you. It's you. It's you that I want. It's you that's going to do it. So he says to this, Gideon says to this angel, he says, stick around a bit. I just want to, if this is real, I just want to offer a sacrifice to God. If this, I want to check this out a bit. Okay? This is a little bit like when Abraham met the angel of the Lord who was going to Sodom and Gomorrah to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And Abraham met with him. And God met with Abraham and told him what he was going to do. You see, God wants to tell you what he's going to do. Not many Christians believe that at times, but God wants to tell you what He's going to do because He wants you to be involved. Right from the very beginning, when He says, "In the beginning God said, let there be light." Right from that very point when He said to Adam, "Rule and reign and subdue the earth." And every day God came and met with Adam in the Garden of Eden every day to sit down and talk with him and spend time with him. God is saying, "I want to spend time with each and every one of you every day. Not once a week, but every day. I want to talk to you every day. I want to get to know you and I want you to get to know me," He says. "See, the only way I get to know my wife is by talking to her. Listening to her. Watching." When we first got married, we knew a little bit about each other. But when you begin to live with somebody, then you begin to know them. You know, they have their little ways. You know, that just sort of like, I wish he'd stop doing that. Yeah? You know what I mean? I wish she wouldn't do that. You know what I mean? But as time goes on, you mold and grow together. And the Bible says become one. And in the same way, God wants you to become one with Him. Because that same Spirit of God that raised Christ Jesus from the dead, when you ask the Lord Jesus into your life, that same Spirit comes into you and me, and we are quickened by God. And that same Spirit has a desire to have fellowship, to have a relationship, to have a friendship with God. And if you don't desire to have a friendship and a relationship with God, then you need to get saved. You need to ask the Lord Jesus into your heart and life. So Gideon says, "You hang on, I'll be back." And off Gideon goes, and he kills a calf, and he prepares a meal. He prepares soup and for this angel to feed him. And he places it, he brings it back to this angel, and he puts it on this rock. And he pours out, ready, you know, just going to let him feed of it. The angels just sat around waiting. Sounds like the ice cream man's here as well. He sat there waiting. And the angel sees Gideon bring the food out to him. And it says in the Word of God, it says he lifts up his staff and he touches the food. And he says, and the Bible says, fire came up out of the rock and consumed the food. Has anybody seen fire come out of a rock? Yeah, but I mean, we're not talking about a volcano, you know. We're talking about a rock. Fire coming out of a rock and just receiving this sacrificial offering. And Gideon's like, "Whoa, how did you do that?" He did it because he's the angel of God, because he has the power of God available to him. Let's move on to verse 25. 24, 25, he says that the Lord spoke to Gideon and told him to take his father's bull and pull down the altar of Baal. This is an altar to a false god. And pull down the Ashtaroth post that's there, chop them up, and use them to sacrifice the bull on. So Gideon, as we've said, he's a real brave guy, decides that I can't do this in broad daylight, my father will kill me. He'll beat the living daylights out of me if my father sees me do this. So he waits while it's dark, and he gets 10 guys to come and help him.
Yeah.
He's not going to do it on his own. So he gets these guys to come and help him. He says, come on, we're going to do something really about these Midianites. Oh great, what are we going to do? First of all, we're going to take down my dad's Ashtaroth pole. We're going to pull down that altar, and we're going to burn it, and we're going to kill one of his bulls, and we're going to make a sacrifice unto God. Well, how's that going to do kill the Midianites? Stick with me guys, I know it's going to work. And so he does this. The next morning, dad gets up. What? Puts his glasses on, he says, what has gone on? Who's done this? So the villagers come round, he says, it's your lad. He's always into mischief, isn't he? It's your lad, Gideon. Uh-oh. And so we're saying, he needs to die. He's defaced and defiled the altar of Baal. He needs to die. Well, Gideon's dad soon smartened up and said, hang on. If Baal really is a god, then let Baal deal with my son. Let Baal deal with Gideon, if he can. Gideon began the process. He began to gain confidence. He began to grow in strength. The next thing he did, and I love this, the next thing he did in verse 34, he says, so the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon. Do you know? You and I need the presence, the power, and the Spirit of the Lord to come upon us. I see Esther at times when God begins to move on her. The Spirit of the Lord. God wants to move into your life. God wants you to know His very presence. God wants you to feel Him. You see, on the wall and hung in the church here is a cross and icons. And let me tell you this. You can go up to these items. You can touch them. They're cold. They don't speak. They have no emotion. God wants you to know Him. God wants you to know and feel His presence and His power. God wants to fill you with the Holy Ghost. God wants to fill you with an anointing that will give you power. Peter, one of the disciples, he was a bit like Gideon. You know, Jesus is telling the disciples, do you know, I'm going to go to the cross and I'm going to die on the cross. And Peter says, No way, not while I'm alive. There's nobody going to nail you to a cross, Jesus. And he pulled his sword out. He says, just look. He says, I'll show them. And Jesus looks at him and says, today, you will deny me three times. And the last time it was cursing and swearing. I know what this Jesus, and you know. Never met him before. First of all, he's bring it on, you know. And as soon as he's confronted with a teenage girl who says to him, hello, I've seen you with Jesus before. He starts cursing and swearing and blaspheming. A girl. How brave he is. One thing Jesus has said to Peter, he says, Peter, I have prayed for you that when you come back into that relationship with me, remember to strengthen your other brothers and sisters in God. And then we know that in the book of Acts, when there was the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, 120 of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. And it says on that day of Pentecost, it says Peter went out there and stood in the marketplace and began to preach the gospel of a risen Saviour, a glorious Lord. And it says 3,000 people were added to the church that day. So how many people were in the marketplace? I have no idea. There could have been 10,000. Now he's a brave man. Why? Because the presence and the power and the Spirit of God is within him. And it's not in my strength that I stand here, but it is in the strength of the Lord Jesus Christ and under the anointing of the Holy Spirit that we stand to declare the power of God. And so Gideon is filled with this presence and this power of God at this time. And he makes a declaration and he says, blow the trumpets. Blow the trumpet. Sound the alarm.
Amen.
You know, you read over that and it's like, let's read exactly what it says in verse 34. So the Spirit of the Lord came on Gideon and he blew a trumpet. And Abizzites were called together to follow him. Just like that. He just blew a trumpet and that was it. What does it really mean? What sort of trumpet was it? I'll tell you. There's only one trumpet that would do and draw people together. And that was a silver trumpet. It's in Numbers chapter 10 and verses 2 and 3. And this silver trumpet was made out of one piece of silver. And this silver trumpet, that piece of silver was beaten into shape to form a trumpet. Jesus was beaten for you and for me. Jesus was marred for you and for me. When Jesus was given over to the Romans, Judas sold him for 30 pieces of silver. 30 pieces of silver. You see, the Bible is not an accident looking for somewhere to happen. That everything connects. So in the Old Testament, when they're saying silver, the thing about silver is the symbol of purity. Silver is the symbol in the New Testament of redemption. Redeeming back the sinful and purifying it and presenting it to God. You see, what was going on in the Old Testament was a shadow and a type of what God was going to do in the New Testament through Jesus Christ. And so, that silver trumpet that was made out of one solid piece of silver, it was beaten out and shaped and everything, and formed. That's like Jesus being beaten for your sins, for your sicknesses, for your diseases, being marred, being changed beyond all recognition. Sold for 30 pieces of silver. And you know, when that trumpet was beaten out and shaped, he'd had four uses. One was to blow the trumpet to call an assembly. Two, blow the trumpet and preparation for a journey. Three, prepare for war. Four, for a feast. It is not a ram's horn. You know, so often you hear people say, we're going to blow the shofar. The shofar is of a dead animal. It's of a sinful beast. The silver trumpet is of the purity of God. And you know, when the silver trumpet sounded, he sounded that silver trumpet as a call to war. And the people gathered. The people that heard the trumpet being sounded, that silver trumpet, came for war. They came for battle. There's a different sound from a silver trumpet to that of the shofar. There is a pure sound that comes from that silver trumpet. And so the people begin to gather together. And Gideon gathered together 22,000 fighting men and women. And they were gathered together to fight. I'm going to finish there. I've given you plenty to think about today. How do you feel about yourself? Do you feel a bit like Gideon? I'm not really up to this. I really don't know much. I really can't make this work. Well, let me tell you, hand your life over to Jesus. Give God the opportunity. Put your hand in the hand of God. And stick with Him. And you know, sometimes he might have to drag you along. But stick in there. Come here, baby. I need you. He's a strong lad, he lifts weights. Turn around. Now what are you going to do? You're going to drag me down there. Okay, just take hold of my arms. Okay. Now you're going to go drag me down there. Go on. And I'm like, no, baby. No, baby. And sometimes we're like that with God. No, God, please. I don't want to do it. But it's for your best. It's for your good. You see, the Bible says, God, if you ask Him for bread, He says, He's not going to give you a stone. He'll give you bread. Why? Because you deserve it? No. Because He loves you. There's the difference. Because He loves you. That's the difference. You see, what do I deserve? I deserve eternal death and damnation. Because I am not able to live the life of purity before God. Because Jesus said, if you even think a wrong thought, you've sinned. Oh boy. I'm out. You know, I give up. Might as well go home. If I'm relying on me doing it, I've failed. I'm out. One, two, you know, count me out, get to 10, I'm done. See, because of Jesus, God gives to you because of the work of the cross, because through that God sees Jesus in you and he says, I love my son. I love my son. My son's great. And you see, when Jesus comes into our lives, he's beginning to form us into his very image. There's a battle that is raging in your heart and in your mind. Should I? Shouldn't I? What will my parents say? What will my family say? What will people think about me? I don't really care what people think about me, because they're not my judge. God is my eternal judge. I need to be concerned about eternal things, and God will look after the things around me. I've been journeying this journey with Jesus now for 50 years just over. He has never let me down. I have let him down. But he has never let me down. He's never looked at me and said, Andrew, you're just a waste of time. Clear off. He's never done that. He's come and said, come on, son. Come on. Come on. Come on. We can do this.
Amen.
We can do this together. And it's this relationship of having Christ in your very life. So today, you might feel you're a bit like Gideon. Out of your depth. Have no abilities. You might feel you've messed up. You might feel you're not really worth much. But you see, Jesus died on a cross to make you worthy, to get hold of you, to clean you up, to straighten you out, to help you, to build you, to form you, to shape you. So today, if you've never asked the Lord Jesus to come into your heart and life, if you've never made that real commitment to Christ, then today, I want to give you the opportunity. Become a Gideon. Become a warrior for Jesus Christ. Become a disciple, a disciplined follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not a church attender, but one who follows Christ with everything that you have within you. God is not interested in lukewarm. He wants firebrands, people on fire for the sake of the gospel. So can I just ask that everybody just close their eyes for a moment. Just forget everybody else around you. Think for a moment on what has been said to you. Has God challenged you? Is God saying, I have more from you, but I have more for you, but I want more from you? God's challenging us today. God's calling your name. Might not be Gideon, but he's calling your name. And all you have to do is to lift that hand and say, Lord Jesus, I want you to come into my heart and into my life. I want you to be my Lord and Saviour. If you've never done that before, and you today, having heard what we've said, having heard what the Spirit of God is saying, you say, I want Jesus to be my Lord. I want a relationship with God. I want to hear the voice of the angel of God in my life. Then just put your hand up and say, that's for me. Anybody want to ask Jesus into their heart and life? Thank you. Thank you. Some of us may have grown a little cold in our relationship with God. And we realize that we knew Him once ever so well. We had a close walk and a close relationship with Him. But we've let the fire go out. We've let the relationship die a little. And I just want to ask you today, if you want to make a fresh commitment to say, Lord, I want to follow you 100%. No, just a bit, now and again. But Lord, 100%. Follow you. If you feel that way and God has spoken to you, and just raise your hand and say, Lord, I want to follow God now. I want to get back to that relationship 100%. And you just raise your hand, please. Father God, we just